I appreciate that. Beautiful song. Amen. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and open up to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, and we'll be in the area of chapter 24. Just over 100 years ago, Alfred Binet, a French psychologist, developed the first widely used intelligence test. The French government commissioned him to develop an instrument that could identify school kids that needed remedial studies. The initial test, it grew over the years into a more sophisticated test that we have today. The average score on this sophisticated test is 100, and the highest is held by Anan Cawley, who has an IQ score of 263. And sounds like a wow, doesn't it? Binet affirmed these measurements were never meant to be permanent as people do change, and yet that was way back when he first developed them. Now schools use them, others use these tests in different ways to see if people will be or can be successful in life and what have you. And I thought to myself here as I was putting together today's message how IQ simply means a person has the capacity to think. And these measurements, I agree with the man Binet who developed these. They're not meant to be permanent, but they were only a snapshot picture of a person at a given time that they'd be able to get through this year's school program. And it's developed into this, psychology has developed this into a look at anyone who they choose to do and put them under a different type of test like this. My wife and I have having a special needs son know all about this test and different tests like this. The problem with that is once a label goes on a person, it's stuck with them. I don't know about you, but I don't like that. I don't want to be given a label and stuck with it because somebody tested me or somebody did this. But nonetheless, it has happened. And so I thought to myself, IQ is just something that gives you the capacity to think. The funny thing is that many criminals have a high IQ. Think about that for a minute. How smart do you have to be to get in trouble and get yourself thrown into prison? Well, of course, we say common sense-wise, you don't have to have much common sense to figure out that's not a nice place to go. And if you do the wrong things and you get caught doing those wrong things, you're going to get thrown in there. You ought to be able to figure that kind of stuff out. Some people, you wonder if they're smart enough to stay out of trouble. They're smart enough to get into trouble, and there's a lot of smart prisoners, but are they smart enough to stay out of trouble? The Bible gives us plenty of examples how we can be wise and live a life that is wise. If we choose wisdom, the IQ doesn't matter. If we choose wisdom and we're going to live for the Lord from the wisdom of His Word, we can make such a dramatic change in our lives and help others to do the same by listening to God's Word. It doesn't matter what your IQ is. Well, you know, I know that every child, every person, even as they grow older, as a special needs son, our son is was born in 1988. He's still around, and we can still communicate with him, and so you can measure that. Now, if I was to measure him against others, he might rate real high in his same category, or he might rate differently, lower even perhaps. But I don't rate him like that. I communicate with him. That's what we're supposed to do. When we have God's wisdom here, we're not to lord it over somebody. We're to thank God that His Word gives us what we need to live a life that shows not only to the Lord that we're following His wisdom, but helps others see that there's a better way. And of course, we know that that is God's way. And so, it's really simple. We have the opportunity here in this new coming year to once again make adjustments in our life and to choose wisdom as we walk in this world that honors and glorifies the Lord. Look with me here in Proverbs 24, verse 1. Solomon, the wisest man of his day, and far wiser than many today, look what he says in verse 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the reading of your word and getting our minds focused on this passage of scripture and our minds focused on the wisdom that your word gives us. Help us today, Lord, to apply these truths to our life, and we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the thanks. We pray asking your blessing now in Jesus' name. These first two verses here, there must have been something that Solomon noticed in the lives of people, especially here as he was writing to more students that he was interested in, them living a full life for God and then helping others to do that same thing here. But he says, don't be envious against evil men. Don't have a jealousy over others who seem to really be making their way through life here. And you look at them and say, how they do that? Or, you know, what do they do? Should I do that? It seems like they're so happy and successful. He says, don't be envious against them. Neither desire to be with them. And so I think, again, of the high IQ. There might be some people who have real high IQs, and you think, boy, they are so smart. And then there's some who look at that smartness and say, yeah, but they have no common sense. We say that often because the two have to kind of check and balance one another. We don't want to, if we have a high IQ, we don't want to use that to point fingers to ourselves and, you know, bring people's attention to us. We want to use it in a good way. I don't care what your IQ is here today, how smart you are, your IQ will never take you above the Word of God. A high IQ or a low IQ, you still find wisdom in God's Word that you can apply that is far above what you think. God knows that truth. And so don't follow after these evil people, those who apply their wisdom, if you will, or their IQs, I'll use. They apply it to evil things. And he says in verse 2, their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. I had to study today for today's message. I was studying wisdom. I was studying God's word. Solomon says their heart studieth destruction. It's like almost two different paths going on here. On the one hand, you know, if this is your right hand over here, I'll do it that. You're studying wisdom. You're studying God's word. Now, I read God's word every day, a portion of it, but I also study it on a regular basis. I have to. I sometimes study for writing different things. I study for messages, a Sunday school lesson. I'm always studying it, and I never get tired of it. I just love it. I get tired on a given day just because I'm, you know, much study can weary the flesh, so to say, but I'm always ready to get back into God's word, and I'm thankful for it. But then on the other side, you have some who are studying destruction. There are those who have a very sharp mind, but they're using it for the wrong purpose. They're using it for the worldly things, evil things, as Solomon says here. They study destruction, not their own destruction, but the destruction of others. And their lips talk of mischief. And so he's trying to get his students here, these young folks that he's writing to here, to identify that there are different people. In this wise, he's given two different categories. Those who speak mischief and think destruction in their minds, and then those who follow after wisdom. And so it's quite a small, interesting, a small passage here. In verses 3 and 4, he says, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches of this house that is built, is what he's talking about. So having wisdom means that one is skillful and acts with intelligence and understanding and uses them in a right way. It takes wisdom to build a house, he says. Skills are needed to develop a plan on how to build a house, and then you have to have the skills to carry it out. And so there's some a process that is involved in exercising wisdom. And look at verse 3 here, that word house. It means a material structure. I think of the church, and I think of myself as an individual, as a house. This body houses, you know, me in it. It's part of me, but it houses the real inner me in the inside. The same for you. But this church building is a house as well. Our church body here, all the believers who come together to worship God, we're a house as well. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9 says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." And so you and I, with wisdom, are God's building. He's trying to edify us through his word, to build in him a body of people that will worship him, live for him, and glorify God. You and I can do that when we participate by wanting the wisdom of God's word in our lives so that we can practice it in our lives and apply it. We are really building a house. Our own lives, we're building a house. We can use that spiritual illustration, if you will. And think about what you're building your house with. Are you building them with spiritual things and with the wisdom of God's word? Or are you building them with your high IQ that knows better than God? And so people make choices in their lives. Now, turn with me back to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, and wisdom in this particular chapter is personified, okay? It's given a personality. Look what it says in verse 1. "Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions." And then it goes on to say a few more things about wisdom. But over in chapter 9 in verse 1, it says, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath set forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Who is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled." The Holy Spirit would instruct us in God's word and want us to have this great desire to think of it as a meal prepared for us to come to God's word and to partake in God's word so that we are nourished by it and take care of our house, if you will, our bodies and our lives through the wisdom of God's word. This is back in chapter 24 of Proverbs. This is what Solomon is talking about here when he says, "Through wisdom and house is builded." And of course, we're speaking of the wisdom of God's word. Think of it as a blueprint. That's what the Bible is. All wise builders have a plan, and they use it, and they follow it through. If they don't have a plan, If you don't have a plan, well, then you're planning to fail. If you got a plan, there's a good chance that you'll be successful at it. God's plan is an excellent plan, and he's given it to us so we can just simply follow the plan he's already developed. And how wise that is for us to make a choice to do that. Spiritually speaking, when building our lives, this blueprint, if you will, of God's Word, different places that we look at it on a regular basis, are all part of God's plan for our lives. Scripture speaks often of wisdom, speaks of the gospel, you know, the cross of Christ, his death, his burial and his resurrection are foolishness unto those who don't believe, but unto us they're the power of God. We know what the wisdom of God's word teaches us all throughout. I'm just today picking out a certain passage of scripture to share with you about this. We have to study it, we have to meditate upon it, and follow it. Its instructions. It's a little bit different than when you're changing a flat tire. You know, like I would get out and I'd try to change a flat tire. I don't even look at a book. I just get out and do it. You know, I start working at it. And if that fails, if all else fails, then I get out the instructions and find out what I'd done wrong. And I know you men have done that same thing, and with some, either with a tire or something else, we always try to go in and we're just going to take care of it. And then when things fail, then we get out the instructions. It's a little bit more serious in life when we think about our spiritual destination and our spiritual house, or our inner person that we're building up for God's glory. It's serious because when we come to God's Word, we ought to read what it says first, and then set our courses based upon what the Word of God says. Now, in John 14, verse 23, Jesus said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Jesus is saying, if we read God's word, in the words of Jesus, of course, we know that he's the author of the Bible, both or all three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, had something to do with writing of the scripture. But Jesus says, if we keep his word in our heart, that means we have to study it first, we have to hear it, we have to know it and study it, and if we keep it in our hearts, meaning we put that into practice, we hold on to it and believe what it's saying so much that we're going to do what it says, he says he'll come and sup with us. You ever think of that? He'll come and sup with you as you're holding on to his word. It means he'll be with you. He'll be close to you, helping you to do this very thing. Now, you don't have to answer this question, but I'll ask it. Have you ever toured a home that you were interested in buying, or maybe a friend's home? You just went and you were just had the opportunity to tour the whole house. I know when I have done that, thoughts have come and flooded my mind, and I thought about what I could do in this room, or how I could renovate it, or how I could fix this, or, well, this house is just way too broken down or too dirty for me to even want anything to do with it and just walk out the front door. You know, so there's all different kinds of things out there when you're looking at homes. But in the same way, I believe we as people can look at our own hearts, especially in this coming year, and say, you know, is there something that's misaligned for me? And I've said this last week too, as we've been looking at this new coming year, there's some things, folks, in all of our lives that we should be aligning to what God's word says. You know, when a man builds a house, he doesn't look at the plans only once. I built a nice little bench for our home some time ago. I bought one piece of plywood, some real nice marine plywood, and built a real nice bench, if I might say so myself. But I'm telling you, I had to look at the plans more than once. And some of those plans I had to look at, and I had to say over and over in my mind, think it through and say, okay, how am I going to do that now? How can I practically do that? And I had to carry them out. But in the end, boy, it really turned out nice because I continue to look at those plans. It's the same thing with God's Word. We have to be in it, look at it, and check our lives to see if we're actually doing what God's Word says and benefiting from it and building our lives up as God wants us to do. Now, I think a lot of people today worry about how they look on the outside, and they're not too concerned about the inside, when in reality, we ought to be a little bit more mindful in our own lives about what's happening on the inside. I'm getting old. You know what? I notice a change when I look in the mirror. I said, who is that guy? Boy, I've had a lot of different faces in my life. My hair used to be down to the middle of my back when I got out of high school because I was a rebel. Now I don't have any hair. My side used to be real nice and thin, and I could put a belt on and tighten it up and get all my suits to fit. But now I feel like there's an inner tube or something there just pushing out, waiting to get out. The outside changes, but my inner person is still striving, working, and desiring to change for God. Someday, he'll give me a body that's a house fit for eternity, and he will you too. So I'm worried about keeping this one as healthy as I can so that while I'm here on earth, I can serve God with everything that I have. So I want to keep my body healthy, but someday he's going to give me a new one. And so I'm not going to put all my attention on this body here, this side of heaven, but enough. But it's the inner person that matters. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And so when building our lives, we want to remember that we're taking God's word and applying it in our lives and doing it every day. It's a cinch by the inch, meaning it's a cinch by the day, but it's hard by the yard. It's hard if we just put it off and then start it again. Put it off and then start it again. I'm willing to say that when somebody who plays the piano and they play it publicly and they have to play it, like Shanda's in school, she has to play and she has to practice a lot. She practices probably a whole lot. I know that Sheila practices the piano a whole lot. I practice my guitar a lot. Anybody who plays an instrument plays it a lot and does it regularly. They cannot put it off for a month and then come back to it. Oh, they can, and they can do well on it, but after a while, if it's only once a month, they start forgetting things, and then they start having troubles with the music, and what they have to do is do it every day. You know, if we say, yep, this year I'm starting out, I'm going to hit God's word hard, and I'm going to put it to practice, but if we give up after a couple days or a couple of weeks, and, well, there's always next year. No, there's not. There's never a next year. None of us know, even if we got tomorrow. And so today's the day that we should listen and heed what God's word says and put it to use in our lives. Think about coming in a house and finding many rooms in there. One's for your social life, a place where you don't mind letting the Lord come in and look around in your heart, or others for that matter, and they can come and ask you things, and you're really not offended or, you know, nervous about that in any kind of a way. Peter said he also has lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so when the Lord comes in this social room, you think it's all set for the Lord to look at, and that's all that he's going to want to look at. But we all have, I don't want to say compartmentalized areas in our hearts, but some do and can do that successfully. However, when it comes to the Lord, there's no bounds to him. The Lord can find anything he's looking for when he looks at you. All rooms are exposed to him, whether it's the living room, whether it's your bedroom, whether it's your closet, or that hole down in the basement where you stash everything. The Lord has access to it all. He sees all of those things. Now, some people don't like that, the Lord to go and look around in their closet. I've noticed some people on their cell phones often, you can't help it because everywhere you go, people are doing it, and they're working on their cell phones, and you look at their cell phone just because, you know, there's some movement there, and you say, what? And then you notice what they're doing, but their screen is real dark. And I always wonder to myself, why is your screen so dark? What are you doing there? I mean, you don't want nobody to know, or are you trying to preserve your battery? Mine on a low screen can probably go for 3 days. I don't know why people do that. But I wondered to myself, you can think about people on their computers too, and they don't want anybody to know. They don't want anybody to go to that room, you know, that inner person that is coming out. And it's magnified in the things that people do in life. And they don't want anybody asking them questions about those things because it starts to get touchy. And so, bear with me here. The Lord, He knows everything. What are you trying to hide? Stop hiding it. And just trust God and say, Lord, come and clean that area up in my heart. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Boy, I tell you what, get in that dark closet you got and just start doing that and let that echo all throughout your heart and through your house that you're building for the Lord. Just let that permeate your house and things are going to change. A whole new attitude can develop when you do that on a daily basis. So where do you put things when you don't want others to see? In that closet. Get it all out of there. You know, if somebody's selling their house, we've had, I think Miss Dandy has sold her house here regularly. The real estate agent probably told her, and as they do anyone else, that you need to clean your closets out. You need to go down the basement and get all that junk out of there that to you looks okay because you've been living here for 60 years. But you got to get down there and get all that stuff cleaned out of there before you can sell. Before you can invite people in to look at possibly buying your house. Now, if you invite the Lord into your heart, you're not closing any doors, are you? Because if you are, he knows what's behind that door. Just open them all to Him. Let Him help you rid yourself of all those things that you are either coveting or hanging on to, thinking you can do that because it's not something that's open to everyone else. You need to release all that to the Lord and let Him work in your heart in that area. Listen to this passage of Scripture here, especially when you think of closet stuff. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Hey, the closet is cleaned out, okay? Behold, all things are become new. Boy, my house looks like it's never looked before since I got it all cleaned out. The Lord helped me clean it all out. And boy, it's really a nice place now. Thank you, Lord. I can worship you with a pure and clean conscience. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That new person in there, one who is submitted to the Lord, allowing the Lord's Holy Spirit to help us to exercise what God's Word says to do. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has a job. He wants to renew our lives this year. In this coming year, you submit to Him regularly. Get the plan and refer back to the plan as you're working on your life so that you can please God more and more as we go throughout this year here. The Holy Spirit is working in your life, renewing you. Now, back here in chapter 24, look at verse 5. Solomon says, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Then look over at verse 13. He says, "My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. And when thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." I like that. God's knowledge fills our heart with nothing but the best. And so we ought to choose wisdom. It ought to be like we love honey. And so if you're here today and you don't love honey, please talk with me after the service. And I want to find out why not and what's going on. Because everybody loves honey, right? In that same way, we're to love God's word. We're to enjoy it. We're to take it in and receive the whole thing in and choose the wisdom of it and apply it in our lives. And did you catch what I said in verse 14? "And thy expectation shall not be cut off." If God's word tells us to study it, if God's word says choose wisdom, and we do it, we can expect good things. And that's what I expect in my life. And I'm telling you, as you study God's word and apply it in your life in this coming year, expect good things. It's okay to do that. And God will reward you. The more diligent you are, he will reward you for your efforts. We can be sure of that. If you're here and you haven't thought of God's word as a plan of building your life, inch by inch, day by day, if you will, why not let him begin today to do that for you? Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Our Father, we thank you so much today for your word as we have found it here in Scripture. I pray, Father, that you might bless it to our understanding. I know somebody here, Lord, that your word has spoken to their heart in some way. Your Holy Spirit has, and has hopefully encouraged someone or pricked someone's heart or pointed something out that needed to be corrected in somebody's life. Lord, we're not here to criticize or to judge anyone. But Father, we've gathered together to worship you, and so I pray that your Holy Spirit would have full access to our hearts this morning during this invitation time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.